This is the Dudes in Christ podcast.
Taco Bell, this is Ricky. What's up? Wrong podcast.
Morning.
So we're switched up a little bit this morning. Our JC, not Jesus Christ, he's here, but Josh Cullum, he's out getting a little extended deload.
Tell me who's out the house.
So it feels weird. I'm sitting in his spot running the board and you're in my spot and like, talking about just like even our mics sound different.
Yeah, headphones are different, mics different.
We're just running by the seat of the pants today.
Yeah. So this is Dudes in Christ podcast.
Oh yeah,
welcome.
Yeah, howdy to be here.
What's going on, Justin?
Man, just so in the lifting scene, for me coming off the deload, yesterday was my last deadlift, which would be the final workout of deload. All that's going deloadish.
Yeah.
You know how that is.
Just, time to reload.
Yeah. So I got my programming starting the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever. And it's getting spicy.
Ooh. Ramping.
So we've been doing a lot of variation lifts, camber bar, wide grip, stuff like that. And now we are doing, keeping the chains in. And sorry, I sound very sinusy. My bad. But
it's the mics.
Yeah, it's the mic. We're keeping the chains in, but we're getting specific on the comp lift. So I'll actually be doing one rep max bench squat deadlift this week with 120 pounds of chains. So we'll see how that goes.
So you're how far out from your actual meet?
8 weeks.
8 weeks?
Yep, 8 weeks. I'm
trying to calculate it in my head.
Yeah, so it's the first 2 weeks we'll have chains in. The third week we're removing the chains and going to a three instead of a one rep max. Then deload and then
something else.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
But getting in reps, so that's fun. I haven't been in reps for a while.
So. Do you usually rap when you're like competing? Have you historically?
Yeah, I like to usually put them on around 8 to 10 weeks out.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking I couldn't remember.
Actually, this is the first time that I've usually I call off season. You know, not in prep. Okay. Usually, even if I went to a heavy squat, I would still rap. So, and this is the first time I haven't done that. So, I would like to think my raw, you know, my sleeve squat has went up. Well, as a matter of fact, I know it has because I hit like 460 with camber and stuff like that. And all that was done in sleeves. So pretty excited to throw a nasty wrap on, see what happens.
Shoot, yeah, dude. So. Throw about 50, 60 pounds on that hog. Right on.
What about you? How's things moving?
Well, yours is getting spicy. Mine is getting more bland, I would say.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. So injured myself a couple weeks ago, and I think we talked about that last week, but came in this week. Monday, I was off, took off, and went to Little Rock and bought a belt squat.
Whoop.
So had some new equipment in the gym. Of course, the day I set it up, I had to play with a little bit, but I mean – it certainly wasn't a workout. But you know, loading a little bit on the legs, didn't have any trouble with the hamstring, you know, didn't cause me any pain as I went the rest of the days into the week or anything. Went on call Wednesday, so I didn't get to go in and bench, which I had kind of looked forward to that because it's like the only thing I can do with a leg injury. And again, it would have even been drawn back quite a bit because of leg drive and things like that. But, got there Friday, didn't get called out, so I had time and just went through a bunch of stretch stuff. The light fell out of the ceiling in the bathroom, so
really?
That cut my workout short, but I just
some overhead work.
Yeah, right. But I got to go in and go through some stuff that really helped my range of motion, so got back into the full range of motion with legs, and it was painless, so that gave me some hope. But then I decided to pull 135 off the ground a few times. And, you know, just for the listener frame of reference, my current max on deadlift, or my current max pre-injury, was 455.
900 max.
So we'll see where that goes when I get back to actually doing some work. But, you know, 135 was produced some sharp pain in the hamstring. And I just kind of, you know, and I didn't have any intention of trying to go beyond that anyway. I just wanted to do it a few times to see what would happen, and the result was about what I expected. So, you know, I'm going to give it a few more weeks to heal without loading it up too heavy. But I have talked to my coach, and he's going to program some stuff for me for this week. So I'll kind of be getting back into the swing of at least being in the gym.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's been
awesome,
you know. Healing.
That's the process that we,
yeah,
or I get impatient for.
Well, I went in yesterday and was doing some shoulder stuff, and a girl came in and she was like, "Are you gonna do anything?" I was like, I had done two or three sets of overhead press and was kind of just sitting around. I said, "If I can't do the main stuff, I don't even want to do, I really don't even want to be here." So,
it's funny though, like transitioning from like gym lifter, power lifter, you're like, if I can't bench, squat, and deadlift, why am I even here?
Yeah. And it's, you know, the Saturday's usually that day I go in, and like the way I explained it to her is like, it's the day I go in and blow off the last of the steam, you know, and it's honestly like my day to kind of back down the intensity because I'm just kind of goofing off. But it feels so good after beating myself to death Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And without that, it's like, Saturday just felt like work.
Right.
Like, I don't want to do this, but anyway, so nice. You know, yeah, healing's coming along, and it's having the psychological effect that that you would expect for a power lifter. It's like, but it's good.
Awesome. I was going to ask too, do you know of, is anybody that you know of using chains this afternoon?
No, I don't know. I don't know of anyone planning on being in the gym.
I'm gonna go in and get them preset. That way, in the morning, we're just ready to roll.
Ooh,
good idea, huh?
We should all start doing that because it's
some time.
Yeah. But we are another gym member, and I, for the listener's sake, we could probably just cut this out.
Yeah,
but he built, and you probably saw the racks that he built for the chains. I'm actually going to get the anchors for those tomorrow, and I think Tuesday afternoon he and I are going to put them in the wall. So.
Cool. That helped tremendously.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah.
Cool.
So I think you're good. You go in and set those up.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in. I'm going to go in tonight and rearrange all of it.
Dang it, Josh.
Who did this?
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's all good. All good. Well, man, you want to jump in on this thing?
I do, yeah.
Get my phone out.
Okay, yeah, let's do this. So for those of you who don't know, I'm a juvenile officer with Dunklin County, and a lot of my work is I deal mostly with our delinquent kids, so kids who have committed crime and stuff like that. I've been at the job for right at 7 years now. there are families that I've worked with since my first day on the job, and you know, of course, there are kids coming up that when I deal with them, it's the first time they've been dealt with at all by our office. And then, of course, a lot of our kids that are long-term have a history of abuse, neglect, and then, you know, that you often see that when you see them, you know, their first referrals and abuse neglect stuff happen early in life. You usually see them later right. in life as delinquent. So a few days ago, I was transporting a young lady who I've had several dealings with. We have finally, you know, disposed of one of, you know, a case with her, and it's been decided by the courts that in our county, we don't have enough resources to really, you know, mm-hmm. do anything that can help her or prevent any further, you know, incidents. So she's been committed to Division of Youth Services. So she had been in the local detention center, and I went to pick her up and was driving her over to her final destination, yeah. so to speak. And usually, you know, a lot of these kids I deal with, most of the time, if they're not on probation, and if their crimes have been severe enough, that's really the time that I get to interact with them is in those car rides. And for, I'll say this, like, for boys, it's usually a lot, we're usually a lot more talkative. Right. Kids that I haven't dealt with, you know, at great length are usually a lot more talkative, and those conversations flow a lot more freely. Yeah. With this particular young lady, I've dealt with her so much that she and I don't really have a rapport anymore. Yeah. I've seen her at her worst, I would say, and she's probably seen me at my, as far as in terms of work and things like that. So right. we've had some heated discussions, but as far as the opportunity to really just talk to her is kind of lost and gone at this point. But I was making the drive, and, you know, God's just been dealing with me in a lot of ways. With everything, you know, a lot of things in my life, but particularly my job. And so I was driving along and kind of silently praying for her as she's riding in the back seat, because I just kept thinking, like, God, you know, if there's an opportunity, let me talk to her, right. you know, and things like that. And that 40-minute ride, you know, came and went, and I didn't get to talk to her. It was one of those things where it wasn't even fear. It was really just a nothing. Yeah, nothing came to say. Yeah, nothing came to mind right. to kind of break the ice, and she wasn't talkative either. So I was just kind of silently, you know, praying for her, and praying that, you know, where I don't have the opportunity to speak to her and won't now, because she's kind of in another jurisdiction, that, you know, I don't have any say or any interaction with her. Was kind of praying that there will be somebody where she's going, yeah. that, you know, when she can start afresh, hopefully God's putting somebody in her life. And I completely trust that that's the case, you know, that will begin to speak into her and, you know, be a plant seeds, yeah. so to speak. So I dropped her off, and as I was leaving, you know, I kind of sat in the parking lot, you know, and was praying a final prayer for her, and I just started thinking about some of the differences in my life and hers, and started thinking about, like, for whatever reason, it was like God just impressed on me that he has gifts for all of us, yeah. and he has gifts waiting on her the same as he had gifts waiting on me. And it was just like he was just pouring stuff on me, opening my eyes, you know, opening my eyes, so to speak. And so there were a few scriptures that immediately came to mind. And if you're good, can we, you know, yeah. we'll read through them. We'll just start with Jeremiah 29:11.
Turning there now. 29:11.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you future and hope.
Give you hope and a future.
Yeah.
Can you, while you're in Jeremiah, do you care to go to the first chapter, Jeremiah 1, verse 5?
Jeremiah 1:5. Yes, sir. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations.
So, the crazy thing is, you know, I'm sitting in the seat of a car. I don't have my Bible. Right. You know, these are just, these are verses that have been drilled in me and ingrained in me since I was a little the beginning. Kid. Yeah. And, I mean, for the listener, I mean, if you have a church background, you've probably heard these verses. You can almost quote them by heart. And, one of the things in Jeremiah 1:5, when I did go, you know, I got back to my office and looked it up and was reading through it, and I actually underlined, you know, I appointed you. So one of the things that was just racing through my mind as I'm, you know, I'm leaving this girl and pretty much seeing her for the last time, at least for the foreseeable future, you know, God has an appointment for all of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can sit in the front seat of a car. I'm lucky enough to have a background of people who have brought me up the way that I've been brought up, you know, and I talk a lot, not necessarily on here, but about our heritage. And yeah. I mean, I've in the men's group, I've even talked about it as I'm just the recipient of this. I didn't have any say in it or anything right. like that. I mean, my grandparents were church people, you know, my parents were church people, and I was, you know, committed at whatever, you know, probably my first or second church service,
right. yep.
3 weeks
here
old.
He, and, here he is.
Yeah. And, you know, taught in Sunday school, you know, about answering that call and, you know, here my Lord, use me. And
yeah.
These, you know, verses in Jeremiah have been spoken over me, probably prayed over me by people who cared a great deal for me. And there is a truth to them. You know, he knows the plans yeah. that he has for us. You know, and he wants each of us to prosper and stuff like that. But it was so strange as I thought about, you know, the contrast of my own upbringing. And then I thought, you know, this poor girl is you know, she's 16 years into her life and doesn't know any of this stuff, you mm-hmm. know, which, I mean, it creates an opportunity for someone to speak that to her and for her to learn it for the first time and hopefully accept it and come to, you know, love that knowledge and mm-hmm. come to love the Lord and things like that. But my praying for her. It felt so heavy on me because I thought, oh my God, I might be
yeah.
the only person who's ever prayed
right.
for her and who's ever thought about, you know, these promises in Jeremiah specifically, you know, when considering her. And, you know, they're very common, as I said, you know, I think about people's little wall art that they have, you know, over the doorway in their kitchen. And I mean, this is probably yeah. some family's, you know, family verse, you know, either of these two, you know, because it's so palatable and flowery and, mm-hmm. and beautiful. You know, I would even dare to say that there have probably been nurseries that this have been, yeah. has been painted on the wall over the crib.
Yeah.
So where a lot of us have been covered in this and covered by this since our, you know, inception, I would say, it makes it no less true for yeah. people who haven't. And I feel like it's all the more important that they know because we tend to take it for granted. I mean,
absolutely.
It's just, that's just how I grew up knowing.
Yeah.
Knowing
we were born into this. So it's yeah. like second nature. And that's just, it shows the importance of to me of we think of the Great Commission, like go out and all to all the nations, and sometimes we forget that our own county could be the nation that we need to go to. You know, it's not like we have to get on a plane and go to Jamaica or something and start preaching the Word of God. It's right here in our own backyard, and like you said, a lot of us take it for granted because that's just what we. It's what you grew up in, so you don't even really, sometimes you were talking about the, you know, it's kind of just pouring into you. And I think part of that is just realizing, hey, I kind of grew up in this, you know, this is what I do, but there's people that don't grow up that way. And that's kind of what, what it sounds like to me that you were kind of revealed to, the revealing you had. And yeah, it's so important to just show God's love. You know, every time you there's one quote that says, go about doing the gospel every day, and sometimes used words. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times are just our actions. Yeah. You know, the things that we do are more evangelistic than, you know, even picking up a Bible and preaching to somebody. And I think we might get in that to in a little bit. Anytime you talk about gifts, my mind instantly goes to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, and you see right in the middle of 12 and 14 is the book of love, and just how important showing that is in every aspect of life. And actually says there towards the end, you know, love will never end. So it's that, you know, one of the most important aspects of the gospel is love. And I think especially for those that didn't grow up in the knowledge of the Lord. Yeah, that's vitally important.
Yeah. Well, and that's not, and I would never go so far as to say their, you know, their parents don't love them or anything like that, right. But the showing them a biblical love is just something, I'm not going to say it's entirely different, but it's, I think biblical love comes across different because of who you're receiving it from. You know, like when you're being loved on by people in the body of Christ, you're talking about people who, I mean, if we're doing, as you said, like fulfilling the Great Commission, we're loving people that we don't know.
Right.
And I mean, that's a different kind of thing for somebody to, and talking about it being like the recipient of it, for someone to love you who doesn't know you, and I apologize, I just said being the recipient and then said you, for someone to love me who I don't know is, I mean, that's different, you know, and I mean, Jesus even talked about it when he talked to, you know, his own disciples in like Matthew 5, I think, talking about, like, I mean, if you love your own family, I mean, you're not doing anything special, right. You know, like my love is extended to all. And, I mean, it has a different effect. You know, it has an effect for someone to love me who isn't, bound, you know, by blood and things like that. But, yeah. And to speak to, you know, again, to speak to the Great Commission, as you were saying, and I just thought, oh my God, you know, God is using my worldly position. Yeah. Really? I mean, I won't say he is using, he will use if I get out of the way and allow him to.
Yeah.
I mean, because in like legal terms, like my jurisdiction extends to the edges of Dunklin County.
Yeah.
And there are only a handful of people who that is, you know, the case.
Right.
And so I have the ability to affect everything in Dunklin County, you know, at least. Now, obviously, that's just for my job. But that's the thing is any kid who commits a crime or any kid who's the recipient or victim, I guess you could say, of abuse or neglect. Like I have the ability to speak into them. So yeah, like I mean, the first thing that hit me in that car was the promises, because they're just so. It comes across in flowery language, and everybody loves to take hold of, you know, the promises of God. But the second thing actually was gifts. Like that was one of the, as I'm just sitting there and, you know, getting ready to throw the car in, drive and leave, it was like I thought about the girl. I thought, oh my God, like if she came to Christ, you know, and she became a member of the body, like God has gifts in store for her that he knew from before, you know, before she was created in her mother's womb and all this. Like, he had a plan for her. He had gifts, like specific gifts in store for her. I thought, what the heck could they be? Because I know this girl's history. You know, I know that, like, she mostly just likes to fight and run away from home and, you know, get into some unsavory situations. And it's like, so her natural personality doesn't even come across. And again, I'm not trying to be judgmental or anything. It's like, she's a 16-year-old girl. Yeah, just, I don't know everything about her, but what I do know is, like, I don't even see, you know, she's so deep into this lifestyle that she lives right now. And I want to make the comparison, you know, a lifestyle versus a life, but, you know, she's so deep into this lifestyle that she lives right now, that I think even the proper teaching by her parents kind of goes lost. You know, there's very little opportunity for, like, natural gifts or talents to really be seen, because all I see is the trouble. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Is like, what, you know, what would her gifts in the body be? And it's like, would they be completely opposite to mine? Like, she might be so gifted that I would be envious, and I hate to say that too. You know, but it's like,
give me them gifts.
You know, it happens, man. Yeah. No, like, absolutely. You, we were talking before recording about tongues and interpretation. Every time tongues go forth in service, I always think, man, Lord, you could have me, you know, use me. And it's not for, like, personal glorification. It's just like, I want to be a part of it. Yeah. You know, like, I want so bad to be a part of it. And to date, that still hasn't happened. You know, but I mean, maybe that would, you know, maybe that would be her. And it's not like, I don't know why that gift stands out, but she might be a pastor. I mean, she might have a pastor's heart deep down inside there under all that crazy, you know, that I can't see past.
Right.
Well, I think, and this is just my thought, but I think that's one reason why the Lord used Paul. You know, it kind of as, I see him as kind of one of the most influential New Testament writers, you know, and you just look at his life history. He went from persecuting Christians, and I think that's, you know, if we were to step into time to, you know, the time that he was persecuting Christians, you know, even fellow believers would possibly think in the same way, thing, like, you know, this dude is so horrific. There's no way he has any, whatever, you know, take anything and for the Lord and push it and make it into something great. But you see that transformation. And like I said, goes from complete opposite, you know, just killing and imprisoning to, like, has this blinding moment. And then now he's the early church, and even to the church today, is inspiring. So, you know, don't put a limit on God. You know what I mean? That's something, gosh, like you talked about, we see the imperfection. We see, and I don't know why we're like that. I guess just the nature of the flesh is like, we're like so judgmental, like,
whoops.
You know,
sorry, Lord.
And I don't know how you get past it, but I think that's possibly one reason that why the Lord used Paul as he did, just to say, hey, I'm giving you this prime example of don't neglect the things that I can do in somebody's life and how far I can take them and use them for the gospel's sake.
Well, and we, you know, I say this a lot, like, when we open the book and you just see something on a page, it's easy to read it, you know, in a very, like, linear, like, well, this just happened in a very short term. But if you look at the book of Acts and after his conversion, you're talking about him being years into his ministry and still wasn't trusted by the very people who saw Jesus walk the earth and change, you know, give people a 180 and just, you know, at the snap of a finger, you know, they were completely turned around, and they themselves didn't trust you know, didn't trust Paul at first. And I have to think, you know, to put it in real terms, this girl receives God and or, you know, other people we deal with receive God, and maybe they're not in our church. Maybe they're somewhere else, and they mature and step into those, you know, those gifts. They've been taught really well somewhere, and, you know, hopefully, and step into those giftings, and you see them again.
Yeah, and, like, who's this person?
Right. I would be very reluctant. This girl shows up in 5 years at our church. Even having had this conversation, I'm still going to probably scratch my head just a little and say, I just don't know. Yeah. But man, that's what God can do, and what he wants to do, and what he intends to do. I mean, the first 16 years of her life have not been a surprise to him. And he's no less hopeful, you know, about her future than he was, you know, before she was born. So, do you want to get into some of the stuff with gifts? I mean, I know we kind of covered it, but let's just for a second.
Pivot a little bit. I'll just read some things out of one of Paul's letters here in 1 Corinthians, probably being 12. Let's just jump in somewhere here. 12:7 be a good place to jump. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we could help each other. To one person's spirit gives ability to give wise advice. To another, same spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same spirit gives great faith to one another. Someone else's spirit gives gift of healing. And, you know, he just goes on through this list. But I think, you know, the verse 7 is pretty evident. The gift is given to each of us. Of course, each of us being God's children, you know, those that have received this, his spirit. And then, you know, it's given to help each other. And then just not to pivot too much here, but just to go down to, you know, throughout there, it talks about the different gifts and the body, things like that. But jump down to, 27, all of you together are Christ's body and each of you is part of it. Here are some parts that God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, and then those who do miracles, those have the gift of healing, those who can help each other, and those have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. And then he goes and says, are we, you know, the obvious statement, are we all apostles? Well, you know, no. Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we have the gift of healing? Do we have the ability to speak an unknown language? Do we all have the ability to interpret those unknown language? Of course not. But something that stood out to me is you can kind of go, you know, comparing 28 to 29, he kind of goes in order. First are apostles, all right, then prophets, then teachers, miracles, gift of healing. And then it kind of skips what 28 says, and those who help each other. And then I think that probably says like helps or something like that. Well, I kind of take that as serving, and it's kind of weird that he leaves that out. But to me, like, you know, everybody can serve. Yeah. You know, that is a special thing. But I guess my thought would be like the Christian who's seeking, like, God, what is my gift? Like, everybody has the ability to serve, and you look throughout Bible verses, serving is like actually, you know, one of the top things. I think Jesus says in Matthew, you know, the greatest among you is a servant, you know, and I think that is just something that everybody can do, whether it be like a local church, whether it be, you know, it says in here each other, whether it's serving your brother, you know what I mean, that maybe don't even go to church with you. Maybe it's serving some 16-year-old girl that's a heathen in our eyes. You know what I mean? So anybody can do that. And then as far as, you know, like you want to keep pushing and see what else the Lord has in store for you, I think, you know, the obviously prayer and then even conversation with those that are full of wisdom. Like, hey, what do you see that God is, you know, doing in my life that I don't realize? And, but I don't know, that just kind of jumped out at me as I was reading that. It's like, he doesn't go back and say that.
That helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and everybody, I don't know that everybody, speaking from, you know, my own carnal side, like, I want to seek the gifts that, you know, put me in some sort of ministerial position or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's easy to want to be, you know, on the platform. Yeah. You know, it's easy to want to be a mouthpiece or something like that. But and if you look back at through chapter 12, when he's talking about the body, you know, all those, all, you know, the head is necessary. The mouth is necessary.
Right.
It's no less necessary than the hand, you know, and God will, you know, exalt one, those things that seem less necessary. He's going to exalt them all the greater, which is where I think, you know, if he's back in Matthew 5, when he's talking about, you know, the greatest is a servant of all, you know, that's not to be overlooked. And, I think, honestly, if you think about, you know, pastors and stuff like that, they can't do what they do without Holy Spirit, but they can't do what they do without help. Yeah,
can't run the whole.
Yeah, I mean, you see how the you know, big toe of the body is keeping balance just as well as the mouth is speaking. You know. And the pinky helps grip, you know, helps grip just as well as anything else. But it, and to go to the very end of chapter 12, when if you're listening and you know, you are in prayer right now, maybe you don't even know what your own gifts are. We actually took a test, and you can find it online. Just answer a few questions. It kind of gives you, and, you know, a look into some insight into what your spiritual gifts might be. But if you're at the point where you don't know, or even you do know, but you want, you know, you want more, we're told, chapter 12, verse 31, earnestly desire the best gifts. And I think that's, you know, the gift that's most appropriate for the moment.
Yeah.
And you will see, if you're around church long enough, you'll be surprised by, you know, by a gift that maybe you wouldn't expect yourself to have or that you didn't see in others. And it just pops out. So, I've just done so much. I've done so much thinking about it and praying about it this week. So, you know, the gifts are for everyone. You know, he has something in store for everyone. He has a place that he has appointed before you were ever thought about. You know, he has a gift that's going to be specific to you that you're going to excel at. And it's just a matter of stepping into it. You know, and some of us have been around long enough that probably gifts that we have are lying dormant, you know, because we've just got into a routine.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's good to see, you know, to be in the body of Christ and see new converts come in and see stuff like that opened up, because it's just like it brings kind of refreshes, you know, your own hunger for them.
Like a fresh spark.
Yeah. But yeah. If we don't have anything else, man, I'm good. I think we had looked in 1 Peter 8 through 10, but it largely kind of gets back to where you started in 1 Corinthians.
Yeah, just the I'll read it real quick. Somebody had wrote it down. 1 Peter 4:8-10. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of special gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Yeah, it's so, I mean, just so important. It's
the gifts that's given is not for personal gain. You know, yep. there is a gift. There is a gift that you know, the language between you and the Lord. But, you know, going to 1 Corinthians 14, you kind of see the hierarchy of that, you know, how prophecy is for the body is, yep. you know, most vitally important. And I would encourage just talking about speaking in tongues, you know, that's a something that's always a division point for, you know, some bodies. But just read, I encourage you, you know, if you have questions about that, just read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, maybe read in a couple different translations, and maybe it'll answer a lot of questions that you might have about that, a lot of concerns, kind of the how God distributes them, kind of the order of things. And that would be my best. Of course, using the word is always the best advice.
Like, can't go wrong there.
Go read it and see how the Holy Spirit kind of provides for it in your life. So,
yeah.
I'm all clear.
Yeah. I'm good.
Prayers for our Colum brother. I think he's just kind of under the weather a little bit. But I always miss his input. He's kind of... He is on the quieter side, but like you don't realize how much he's listening because he'll pick something up that we might have said like 20 minutes ago, and then he'll bring it up and he's like, wow, yeah, I didn't even like realize that. So we always miss our three stranded cord when it's only two. But we're United Voices Zion, Dudes in Christ podcast. Appreciate you guys listening to this episode, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
This is Dudes in Christ.